Well, we do have the exciting adventure this morning of looking at another passage of Scripture that reveals to us the glory and the splendor and the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please turn to Revelation chapter 1? We're thinking about Christ as he is now. He lived, he died, he rose, he ascended. But what's happening now? And we get to know him as he is now. Revelation chapter 1, we've come to verse 9. So we'll read verses 9 through 20. This vision that the Apostle John has concerning Christ. So he writes, "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, I was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, 'Write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.' And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girding across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and Hades.'" Now, let's get the orientation of what's happening here. This is John, an apostle chosen by Christ, and he has been commissioned by God to write five books in the New Testament: the Gospel of John and the three short letters in the back of the Bible toward the book of Revelation and the book of Revelation. And the time is about 95 A.D., which would be several years after his ascension. And John has been a faithful witness and preaching Jesus Christ. And because of that, the Romans arrested him, put him in prison, and he's exiled here on this island called Patmos as a Roman prisoner because of his witness. God visits him and gives him this vision and instructs him to write this book of Revelation and write letters to these seven churches. And what John wrote to the churches is recorded in chapter 2 and 3. But let's work through the experience of John as he tells us what was happening to him. He was worshiping the Lord on the Lord's day. Now that's Sunday. After the resurrection, the Christians began worshiping, not on the Jewish Sabbath, but on the Lord's day, which is Sunday, the first day of the week. And John says, "I am your brother, I'm your fellow partaker in tribulation, kingdom, perseverance." He's relating to them because this is an age when Christians suffered. They were persecuted. They were put out of their homes. They were taken to other cities. They were separated from their families. They lost their jobs. And so it was a time, and they lost their lives. And so John is saying, I'm your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice. Now what we'll do as we approach this passage, we'll go through the experience of John, try to go with him, where he said, I heard, I turned, I saw, and I fell, and I was touched. And if God would enable us to catch the experience of John, it will be great help to us this morning. So first of all, he said, I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. Now, this is a surprise. John is there, he's worshiping, and suddenly he hears this loud voice. The voice of the Lord, like the sound of a trumpet. Now, the Lord's voice, just think of that. It's loud. It's like the voice of the blast of a trumpet. Now, what this reminds us of is that the Lord's voice is the voice of authority. And this whole creation came into being by his voice. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be, and there was. It's a voice of authority. You don't play around with the voice of the Lord. It's an irresistible voice. When the Lord came to John and called him and said, follow me, John didn't argue. He left his fishing, he left his career, and he went out and followed the Lord. It's a voice of authority that John heard. And when Jesus was here on earth, and the man Lazarus had died and was laying in the grave for 4 days, Jesus said, roll away the stone. And he said to Lazarus, come forth. And he raised him from the dead, and Lazarus came forth. And there's no record of Lazarus saying, well, I'm really... another day would be convenient for me, and I've got certain things to do, then I'll follow him. No way. When the Lord's voice of authority hits us, we follow. Now his voice is also the voice of forgiveness, of compassion. And we have recorded in Mark 2 the record of a young man who had been paralyzed, and he couldn't walk. And so 4 friends of his carry him and get him into the presence of Jesus. And when the Lord sees this young man, he says to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There are no greater words that any human being can ever hear. Your sins are forgiven. That changes everything. The voice of the Lord came to John like a trumpet blast. Have you ever heard him say, your sins be forgiven you? No sweeter words, no greater words. This is the one thing we have to hear. In John 10, it is recorded that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Have you ever heard his voice? If you have not, then you are not one of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Well, you might say today, Bill, we don't have these kind of voices and God isn't speaking to us directly. I'd like to hear his voice. How can I hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ today, this morning, right here in this service? How do you hear his voice? You hear his voice as you read the scripture. As you open your Bible and read it sincerely, the Holy Spirit causes you to hear. Not in a physical sense, But in spiritual reality, we are hearing the voice of the Lord today. And that is a wonderful, wonderful, glorious thing. Let's enter into John's experience this morning and hear the voice of the Lord in his word. Now, the next thing John says is, when I heard the voice, verse 12, I turned to see the voice. Now, that's a strange thing, to try to see a voice. But this is what John is saying. I turned to see the voice. Now, what he means, of course, I turned to see the person who was speaking with this voice. But he said, I turned. That is, when he heard the Lord, he responded. And he did not ignore that voice. And he was not indifferent to the Word of God. He turned. He responded. And a turning is repentance. Repentance means to turn, to change. A person is walking down life in one direction, and when he hears the voice of the Lord, he turns. That's repentance. God changes the direction of our life, and we follow him and walk with him. In fact, that's what conversion is. Conversion means change from one thing to another. John responded. He turned. And then he said, I saw. I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw. And when repentance hits our life, we see a lot of new things. Now, what John is going to see here is, with figurative language, a visionary experience, an image of the Lord Jesus Christ in splendor and glory as he is now. Not while he was here on earth during humiliation time, but now in his exaltation, what does he look like? Well, John sees him clothed in a robe with a golden belt, which speaks of majesty and royalty, the Lord in his kingly position, one of high rank. He is not a defeated Savior. He did exactly what he came to do. He died on the cross to save his elect from their sin, and he is now in glory. John sees that. He also said his hair was white like wool, like the sun glistening in the snow. The radiance of his being. The whiteness speaks of divine purity. He said, I saw the eyes of Christ like a flame of fire. And when we get a good look at the Lord in the scripture, we will sense that the eyes as a flame of fire piercing into the depth of our being. When Peter had denied the Lord, and the Lord came out of the palace, out into the open courtyard where Peter was, and Peter had just denied three times, there's a simple statement in Luke that says, and the Lord looked at him, and he went out and wept bitterly. When the righteous eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ look at us. He sees everything. Divine knowledge is his. He knows. There is no use playing games in life or with him or attempting to deceive. He saw and he knows what is in our heart. There's a song, he's looking at you. This morning, we can enter into John's experience to hear the voice, to see his eyes in the scripture, and see him looking at us. He is looking at us this morning. As a church, he is looking at us. He knows we're in this house. He knows we're here to worship. But he's looking at us individually in the sincerity of our faith. Then he says, I saw the feet of Christ, and that the feet were like a glorious brass in its beauty. And the feet of Christ speak to us of his power to tread out all opposition. He'll put them down. When he comes again, he will rule with the rod. And his feet also took that gospel. He went everywhere. The Lord Jesus went into the mountains. He went into the cities. He went into the seashore. And he went seeking. And that's what he said. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are sinful. People like you and me. He's the seeking Savior. And the Bible says, no one ever seeks God. That is first. If we seek him, it's because he has sought us and turned our heart to want him. So he is the seeking Savior. John said, I saw in his hand the seven stars, indicating his control of the churches. The Lord is in control of church history, and he is this morning. And in spite of all the deception, of all the cults, and all the falsehood, and all the weaknesses in our churches, he is in control. And he's going to bring about what he wants done. John said, I also saw a sword coming out of his mouth, like a two-edged sword. And this imagery is repeated in other places. This sword speaks of the Word of God. This is figuratively imagery here. And this is what John saw. But he saw, that again, the power of the Lord's judgment through his word. He will judge this world. And God said he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by Christ, no other judge. Now then, John heard the voice, and he turned, and he saw. And what does he do now? John says, I fell. What else could happen to a human being? A condemned sinner, condemned to hell forever, but graciously visited by our God and reveals himself. What could we do but fall in humility and worship before him, in awe and in reverence, overwhelmed by the splendor and majesty of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I hear people all the time on television writing about God talking to them personally, and they're hearing physical voices, or he came into their room and they saw him, and that. And they even get into trivial conversations with him, even to the point of being argumentative. If I ever heard the voice of the Lord, or if I ever saw him, I'd be on my face so quick you couldn't see. John, thank you for this response. This is right. If we know him, we fall before him in reverence. Then John says, I fell, but his right hand touched me. You have to excuse me, I'm left-handed. His right hand touched me. What a gracious thing that God does for us to lift us up, to help us, to support us, and to strengthen us. I was touched. I was helped. And then he said to me, do not be afraid. If you studied through the Gospels and found out the words that Jesus spoke more often than other words, it may very well be these words. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now we can take that personally this morning. There are many things that cause fear in this life. Do not be afraid. And then he always tells them why. And it's nothing because of circumstances or nothing in the person. It's always in regard to himself. Do not be afraid. I have overcome the world. And do not be afraid, he says, because I am the first and the last. I am the Lord God Almighty. I started this thing going. I gave you life. I'm in charge of your life this morning. And so we thank John for recording his experience of seeing the Lord. There's a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Could we do that this morning? Would that be true of us so that when we walk out the door from having been here this morning, we have heard his voice, we've turned to him, and we've seen him, and we fell, and he touched us, and we're blessed by him. And we turn to him with undivided attention. The Lord accepts no rivals for our attention. He wants us to look at him without these distractions so that he is the center of our attention and to see him clearly. May the Lord help us this morning to have this scripture applied to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that it speaks to our hearts. And thank you that you've opened our blind eyes and given us faith to see. And thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you cause us to turn and respond to you. And thank you, Lord, that you touch our lives. And we're never the same. We're new people in Christ, worshiping and serving you. Bless this word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.